Welcome, mountain bikers. Thanks for tuning into a special edition of Vital MTB's The Inside Line podcast. This is your host, Brandon Turman. It is currently Wednesday, March 18th, and in this episode, I'm joined remotely by Matt Giaraffa, the chief engineer and co-founder of Gorilla Gravity Bikes. And we're here to chat about something rather serious, and that's the current and potential impact of the coronavirus pandemic on their US-based bicycle business. Coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, is currently sweeping across the world and will no doubt have lasting impacts on humanity, the economy, and the bike industry. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
So, Matt, let's give people a sense of geography. Where are you in the world today?
I am in my house in Denver, Colorado.
So you're working remote, sounds like?
Yep, sure are. So we recently just changed our schedule up, so anybody that can work remote is doing so. So that includes me. So I'm spending a lot of time with earbuds in front of the computer.
Yeah, I'm sure we all will be here very soon, if not already. So Matt, if you're up to speed, what's the latest update from Denver? What are some things that you're hearing locally?
So some things locally is there are cases. Mainly, it seems like a hotbed has been in the mountain communities. And so basically all the ski resorts have shut down. There are cases in Denver. We're not exactly sure what the situation is. The last I heard on the news was it seemed to be, I think, 180 cases. And that, if my memory's a little fuzzy, that might be the state of Colorado. I forgot if that's the Denver metro area. But either way, in the Denver area, it's certainly an area of caution. At the moment, and the governor's locked down quite a few things. I'll probably get a few of the details a little bit off, but essentially they were just recommending no unneeded being out and about around town. So all restaurants with dining rooms, the dining rooms are closed themselves, the restaurants are not. And so in general, we're all trying to avoid being out and about for the most part.
Yeah, so that number you quoted, 180 cases, is correct, and that was as of this morning here in Colorado. I'm also in Colorado, down in the Four Corners area in Durango. Yeah, it's been pretty wild to watch it all unfold. And so in light of that, Matt, I wanted to talk to you because as a domestic manufacturer, Gorilla Gravity is in a potentially unique situation. Your headquarters is in Denver, where you manufacture and design high-end mountain bike frames. And we've covered this in depth on previous podcasts, but can you briefly explain to listeners how you're able to affordably produce high-end mountain bikes here in the USA?
Yeah, so there's a few ways to do that. So first, you know, there's a handful of pieces of the puzzle, but we design everything under one roof. It's pretty easy to do design for manufacturing when manufacturing is under the same roof. We make everything in-house, so there's a lot of the aspects of the production that we've worked through the efficiencies of all of it, all with the end goal in mind. From the very beginning, we've focused heavily on efficiency for manufacturing. And then, of course, with our revved carbon technology that was debuted at the beginning of last year, the frames are made with revved carbon technology. That's a new to the bike industry manufacturing process that we introduced. And that cuts out most of the labor time in a carbon fiber manufacturing process. So that helps quite a bit as well.
Yeah, so that revved manufacturing process, I mean, if we're straightforward, you guys are using some form of thermoplastic, correct?
Yes.
Now, the thermoplastic material, It's interesting because you guys aren't seeing a supply issue at this point. Is that correct?
So that's an interesting question because you asked me that first on Monday and today is Wednesday. And the answer is quite a bit different. So on Monday, when you asked that, at the time, the disruption to our manufacturing was that we were having trouble getting some adhesive for molded chainstay protectors. For the most part. And now, of course, things have changed and there's a state of emergency locally in the state. And just with the recommendations yesterday, we switched up our operations so where everybody that can work remotely is working remotely from home, including myself. and all the production staff, we switched to a temporary COVID schedule. How temporary, we'll see. But essentially what we did was we limited it to where there's no more than 7 people in the building at any given time. And everybody's fairly spread out, and it's manufacturing still being done. So we're still manufacturing bikes, and actually with pretty quick lead times, 2 to 4 weeks. So things are still moving along actually pretty quickly, and we just adapted as needed, and we can still meet all the best practices recommended for the health and safety of everyone. So that's essentially what we've done. So 2 days ago, the disruption was pretty small. Now, you know, certainly I would consider that a healthy disruption, but ultimately we've been able to adapt quickly, and, you know, we can still get people bikes actually pretty quickly.
It's hard to predict, right? Viruses are incredibly unpredictable, but it is here in Colorado. Do you guys have a plan in place for what may be to come if, say, Denver gets a lockdown type of situation?
I would say with the rate that things are changing, this is what we're doing, and we just have to keep monitoring it to see what we need to do, when we need to do it. I would say getting too detailed with any plan ahead of time at this point for us would be a little bit jumping the gun. As I mean, this whole thing is very unprecedented.
Yeah, it certainly is. Now, to jump back to that thermoplastic material, I want to spend a little bit of time here. There's not a supply issue with the actual material that you use to make the frames. Is that correct?
There has not been. I would say since Monday, we've actually heard that the carbon fiber manufacturer is under a COVID-based slowing down of their own processes. So a shipment of carbon that we were supposed to get in recently is being delayed a bit. It's a much smaller delay than, say, the adhesive for our molded protectors. That is not currently really scheduled to produce any sort of real disruption in the manufacturing, but that is new. So, you know, as of 2 days ago, there was very minimal as a manufacturing disruption. You know, it's, and as of now, the carbon fiber material itself, I would still say, is not an actual supply problem. Yeah, you know, there's a little bit of a slowdown in their operations, but yeah, the supply is still there.
So if we were to look a little bit broader at, say, the bike industry in general, how might that be different to traditional carbon manufacturing, where possibly it's outsourced from Asia?
Yeah, so we know, of course, that China was on lockdown. Things are back online a little bit. So I'm not exactly sure what other companies have seen for supply shutdowns. I saw some article that was written by somebody that lives over in China and works in the industry that seemed a little more doom and gloom, but we shall see. I'm not entirely sure what theirs could be.
Yeah. One of the cool features of the material that you guys use is that it is truly recyclable. So can you explain that recycling process?
Yeah, so with thermoplastic materials, to reuse it in a different application, you heat the resin up to where it changes from a solid to a liquid, and then you can reshape it and then freeze it back to a solid. So essentially, any even waste in our own process, we can use to make other parts. And so that's something we haven't done too much of yet, but it's on the roadmap that we're going to integrate it as soon as we can. So I guess to answer the question in two different ways, there's a recyclability and there's a reusability. And recyclability was more of a end of product use category, in which case it's likely that, say, red frames down the road for recyclability at end of life might get turned into truck beds or something like that. Whereas our own drops from the manufacturing process, we can actually reuse to make other parts. So that's a pretty cool aspect of thermoplastics that you cannot do with traditional carbon thermoset materials.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. And it seems as though it has a lower overall environmental impact versus regular carbon, plus potentially more available in this time of crisis.
Yeah, for sure. Even in the manufacturing process, the manufacturers actually prefer the thermoplastics because the shelf life is indefinite. And so there's not such a time crunch between when they do a lot run of material and then when we ultimately use it. So there's, even just in the manufacturing process, there's more flexibility there.
So as a material, its use is expanding. I mean, in the bike world, we've seen frames from you guys. You guys were the first by a long shot. Now we've seen some rims come out. Do you see a wave of thermoplastic products coming? not necessarily short term, given the issues that are going on, but just the way we were headed.
Definitely in the composites industry. So when we came across that, you know, the thermoplastics were, oh, hey, this looks like the future. And then we applied it to bike frames. And since then, it's just gathered more steam as in the composites industry. If you look in composites engineering magazines or go to composites industry trade shows, it's all about thermoplastics. So it's definitely the wave of the future.
Now, Matt, this is all true for the bulkier frame, which is made of thermoplastic, but you still rely on other countries for certain parts of the package. So what are the things you're finding availability issues with?
Availability issues, it's really comes down to that just adhesive for chainstay molded protectors, which ultimately just the adhesive came from China. That's why we haven't been able to actually sell those as aftermarket upgrade kits yet. We're able to adapt and still ship bikes out the door. Yeah, so that's really been the supply chain issue thus far. Other than, you know, the last day or so, you know, there's been some suppliers with some possible shipping delays and things of that nature, but that's actually pretty still in the works. I'm not exactly sure where we're at on that. Some of that is more of just suppliers that we're reaching out to and asking, and we're starting to get some responses of, oh, the shipment might be delayed. This warehouse is in an area with a, you know, shutdown order, etc.
Yeah, it all kind of feels a bit too in motion right now to accurately predict anything.
For sure.
Do you guys see any creative ways to overcome those availability issues here in the States?
So on the frame manufacturing side, so ultimately the adhesive that was sourced from China, you know, we've just been looking for domestic sources for that. So that's certainly one way to overcome that. And since the supply chain of the ramped carbon fiber manufacturing is awfully short in the first place, there's just less hurdles and less challenges we need to figure out when there's a disruption. Since we do have more control over the processes, there's certainly less things that are out of our hands, and it's certainly much easier for us to change path and say, okay, well, we can't, you know, get this, or this has a long lead time and we can just substitute something else that has no effect on it, rather than relying on somebody else to do that. So we haven't had to jump through too many hoops about that yet, but certainly having more control over the process and a shorter supply chain certainly makes it less difficult.
Yeah. Have you seen any issues on the OEM component availability end of things?
I would say on a day-to-day level, that's not something that I'm intimately involved with, but on an overall level, not too much. I would imagine that might change soon. The timing also for us wasn't too bad on that, and the fact that we'd spent the winter kind of preparing for a spring sales season. So at this time of the year, we would build up a little bit of an inventory anyway. So it hasn't really hit too hard on us yet, but, you know, as we've said, check tomorrow, that might be different. We'll see. But at the moment, we actually have a pretty good stock of all of the components. Lead times are short, so we're prepared to get people on their bikes quickly.
Do you guys foresee any financial impacts from this? I mean, just thinking broader.
It's guaranteed that there's going to be a large financial impact over the entire economy. As far as us, so we have Gorilla Gravity, the bike brand, and we also have Revved Carbon Manufacturing, which is a carbon fiber frame manufacturing company. So there's two different avenues that we can take. And as of lately, there's certainly the interest in OEM manufacturing has not gone down, that's for sure. So as far as our perspective goes, we're actually sitting in a pretty good place. As far as getting people on their bikes, we actually had the biggest order of the year for bikes last week. So there hasn't really been anything negative for us thus far. You know, we'll see how it goes. So, I mean, obviously, you know, if a lot of people can't go to work and there's a lot of things you can't do, bikes still work well and are really fun. So it looks like a lot of people are still wanting to get out and ride.
Yeah, well, they can. It's been interesting to see the full lockdown on any form of cycling in several countries. And will this slow or postpone any planned launches that you guys have for this year?
We have not changed any of our planning timing for any of that sort of thing.
So I also want to chat about, you guys use a really interesting modular frame platform, which, you know, in a time when maybe it makes sense to have one bike that can do a lot of things, when that economy is shrinking down, can you explain your modular frame platform and how that works?
Yeah, so the modular frame platform, there's one essential frame, and to change from model to model, changes out the seat stay and the shock, and also the lower headset cup, depending on the wheel size. This frame platform is designed to be used for the bulk of the market, which would be anything that's essentially not an XC race bike and not a downhill bike, but in the middle of what most of us ride, which is a bike that is going to be pedaled up hills, ripped down hills, should handle whatever you throw at it, climbs great, sends well. And the models are essentially picking your flavor of what you like to ride. So when we were looking at this frame design, we said, well, you know, the difference is in what you want between maybe a 120 millimeter travel bike and a 160, or it's not that drastic. It's a little bit of length here and wheel travel change there and a little bit of an angle here. And there's no reason that we necessarily have to design complete different mold sets and all this different molding and machine parts, you know, an entire new chassis just to move things a little bit here and there. So those were all things that we were able to take care of in essentially changing out a seat stay, a shock, and a lower headset cup. So it was just one of those ideas that presented itself of, hey, this just makes sense. Let's just do this. It's a huge benefit to the rider in the fact that if you're deciding like, oh, do I want a short travel 29er this year? Or do I still want that mid to long travel one? Well, you know, if you get one and decide you want to change next year, it's not a problem. It's not like you have to get a whole new bike or anything. It's just a tuning kit. Or like I did last year, is I prefer riding the shorter travel bike for most of the trail riding around here. But then I did a trip where I went up to Whistler and did some riding around the Pacific Northwest and decided I wanted a longer travel bike for that. So I just swapped out the model myself for that trip, came home, rode the bike parks a bit more, and then switched it back. That's the idea of the modular frame platform. And it's, we haven't seen anybody else do that. And it was just an idea that made sense, and it certainly benefits the rider, especially at a time like this. You know, if the economy is, if you're unsure of what things are going to be doing, but you still want to update the rig, you know, if you're changing out a seat stay tuning kit, a shock is certainly far less expensive than a whole new bike.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I tell you what, it's pretty incredible how much those bikes can transform when you make that switch. Well, Matt, that wraps up our time for today. Thank you so much for chatting with me. It's been a few wild weeks for the US and months for the world, and I appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Brandon.
Thanks for listening to this special episode of the Inside Line podcast. For anyone looking for a bike that can cover a lot of terrain with minimal investment, be sure to head to RideGG.com for more details on their clever modular frame platform and rev technology. To all of our listeners, our hearts are with you as we get thrusted into an intense period of change due to the coronavirus. Please do your part, follow the guidelines, wash your hands often, and do not touch your face. If you're sick, stay home and contact your medical provider first. If you're young and thinking that it won't harm you, you must also consider the elderly who you could spread it to. Please do not socialize in groups right now. Those likely to be impacted most are the guys that started mountain biking for all of us. We wish you all the best as life takes a very unexpected turn, and remind you that getting out on the bike for a solo pedal can be incredibly soul-filling in this time of crisis. At the same time, consider the impact a crash could have on strained medical resources in your area, and be sure to adhere to any local restrictions. Have a good medical kit with you and a plan in place before heading out. Stay safe out there.